Hey guys, welcome back to the Massive Podcast with Johnny and Manu.
Hi guys.
And today we have Liam Davies with here and also Isaac Nimmo. Welcome guys.
What's up? Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So Liam is running for the Vice President of Education at Massey University.
I am indeed.
So tell us a little bit about your campaign.
Okay, so a little bit about my campaign. As it says on my posters, I want there to be more should representation. I want there to be better advocacy services and thus all students thriving. Obviously there is a problem on this campus with student representation and students being able to voice their opinion, and I believe that a way to fix this is by building good relationships with the lecturers and with the course coordinators, heads of schools, that kind of thing. Those are the people that are in a position of power. We're in a position of advocacy, so I see it as my job to be able to form better relationships with the heads of schools and with lecturers and tutors, and being able to ensure that students feel comfortable when it comes to question time in a lecture. They feel comfortable putting their hand up and saying, you know, this is what I believe the answer is to your question. So yeah, that's sort of what I want to work at. Also with student advocacy services as well in general, providing academic and financial advice to students, financial assistance, the class reps program as well. I think we really need to look at improving the numbers with that as well. And again, that is to do with improving the relationship with the tutors and lecturers.
Cool. So in terms of like financial advice and financial aid for students, do you think there is more that needs to be done? Do you think students are being like kind of left out on a limb here?
Not so much necessarily left out on a limb, but there is a lack of advertising around it, I think. There is always going to be room for the university to give us more money, essentially, in order to be able to accommodate the such large numbers that do ask for financial advice or financial assistance as well through our grants program. But again, that's a matter of building positive relationships with the university and the internal part of the university. There is a space for more financial assistance from the university there, so that we can sort of carry on with that system.
So you talk about how you want more students to be able to ask teachers, lecturers questions in class. How would you go getting that to happen, basically?
Okay, so we do need to improve our class reps program. I do know for a fact that there were about 100 or so emails sent out to various different lecturers and course coordinators last year. Only about 8 of them replied to that email that went out. Wow. From the class reps advocate. There needs to be a lot more advertising from the Student Association to the lecturers about the importance of that class reps program and getting more lecturers on board and enthusiastic about wanting to have a positive relationship and more transparency with their students.
Okay, yeah. So, Manu and Isaac, do you guys feel like you have the confidence to ask lecturers questions in class or go up to them after class and say if you're struggling, like, hey, I need help, could you potentially help me with this problem?
I think so, because every time I wanted to ask someone, they just said, yes, sure, come to me after class and we just talk about it. So I think it's pretty cool here.
Yeah, like, especially, I don't know, just going back to his point on the whole class rep thing as well. I think, like, having a figure in class, sort of someone who can, like, better communicate to lecturers and stuff about, you know, what's actually going on and everything would be, you know, like, obviously we still have that at the moment, but I think almost sort of like changing the stigma around it. I swear, like, class rep is kind of like, okay, who wants to be class rep? Like, no one puts their hands
it's
up
like
and then someone...
It's like an afterthought, really, isn't it?
Yeah. It's almost like, you know, whoever gets class rep is kind of like stitched up. It's like, okay, fine, I'll do it, you know. But I reckon, like, changing the stigma around that and, like, getting more education onto, like, what a class rep does and everything, because, yeah, I think especially, you know, coming or with your campaign, that'd definitely help you, like...
Yeah, and it's kind of like, with that whole thing you said, it's sort of like a last resort thing, it's sort of like a last-minute thing that they talk about. The class reps program and that is always advertised at the end of the lecture. It's never advertised at the beginning, it's never advertised in the middle, it's always at the end. So it's sort of easy to see that, yeah, they don't really care so much about it. I want them to care more about it because I know that there's so many other students out there that who would want to be in positions like that. They're kind of a little bit latent, like they want to do it, but they're not really being told how to do it or they're not feeling comfortable enough because of that lack of sort of information in doing it.
So if there was more information out there and, you know, every class or mostly every class got passionate behind the whole class rep thing, you got someone, you know, in that position, what do you think would happen then? What would we see?
I think that there'd just be a lot more student engagement on campus. There'd be a lot more knowledge of what the Students Association does. There'd be a lot more knowledge of the other positions of sort of authority, I suppose, that can that are provided to students. We've got a lot of committees and we've got a lot of academic boards and that kind of thing. The positions of class reps or the positions of student reps, program reps, they're constantly offered to students via email. But again, it's like if the students aren't checking their emails as regularly as maybe what I do or what Manu does or what all of us here in this room do, then of course there's going to be sort of a lack of engagement there. So by allowing students to the opportunity to represent themselves and their colleagues and their peers and that kind of thing, I think there'd just be general better engagement on this campus. Yeah.
It like gets the ball rolling as well. If you have that stuff at the start and someone sticks their hand up, you know, not only does it make like a good impression on the class, but you know, it's almost like a domino effect, eh?
Yeah.
Like, it's if someone sticks their hand up, yeah, I'll be class rep, then it almost lifts, like, the, you know, the environment of the classroom of, like, people sharing their ideas and stuff.
Yeah, like, everyone else sort of feels comfortable. It's kind of like that thing when you're in a lecture and one person answers a question first and then you're going to feel more comfortable answering that question because someone's already gone before you. It's the same kind of thing.
And it's like if you don't feel comfortable going to the teacher with a problem or a question, you can go to the class rep because they're on your level, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that would also give you more confidence then to potentially go to the teacher with that problem, which would help them improve like class time.
No, definitely.
Exactly.
In terms of student health, we've seen on the news in the past, well this year basically, about the suicide rate in young people being the highest it's ever been on record in New Zealand. And like personally myself, I see this as a huge problem. Like I've known people that have committed suicide, and a lot of people who do struggle with depression and anxiety, as probably everyone in this room does.
Yeah.
But also, what are you going to do about student health? Like, what needs to be improved?
Okay, so currently, student health, as far as I'm aware, is not as good as it could be on campus. This also correlates to mental health services. You've got a lot of students coming from different areas in New Zealand. Let's not forget that a lot of us here aren't actually Wellingtonians. Well, I'm not a Wellingtonian. So we're away from home. We're away from that support base and our family, our whānau and our friends. So, of course, mix that with the stresses of university, the stresses of flatting and financial difficulty that sort of just sometimes comes to hand with university students as well. There's going to be some issues when it comes to depression and anxiety and stress. And also around exam times, assignment times as well. So we do need to be looking at the possibilities that we have of improving our mental health services, whether that be actually having more counselling services on campus or off campus at the Newtown Health Service, where most of our students, part of my health at Massey, go. But also the Students Association themselves and we as executive members would have a responsibility to be there as communication boards for students as well, and for them to see our face around and just feel free to come up and talk to us.
Yeah, like a peer-to-peer support thing, I think, would work definitely. Really well.
But also, like, this is my opinion, so I'm sort of interested for, like, other people's, like Isaac's and Manu's perspective as to what you reckon would be better on campus as well, like, when it comes to this kind of thing.
Yeah, and especially for you, Manu, as you're, like, an international student as well, you can bring a whole new, like, voice.
In my opinion, I think it's quite usual for international students to experience anxiety and other mental health issues, because besides all the stress that you have from university, you also suffer from the distance from your home, you also experience culture shock, and you're living like in a whole new environment. So you may not have your friends with you or your family. So yeah, it could be quite difficult and stressful.
I guess like, I don't know if you guys saw it, but what the All Blacks did against Tonga.
Yeah.
Massive, like, man, when I saw that video, that was like, you know, such a big impact. And that's so true. The fact that whenever something like this happens, we always, I don't know, not really like, what's the word I'm trying to, whatever, but we're always like, we always kind of shun it with silence.
Yeah.
We always just, you know, back away from it. And that was like a big thing, you know, like on a big scale like that. Having like a moment's silence for someone, you know, who has been through the stuff or whatnot, or a significant figure, it is, you know, unconsciously we're kind of like stopping the cycle of actually like trying to get out discussion of it, which I think, you know, and like they had the minute of talking. It's not only that, but like you could just turn to someone, you know, I'm sure a lot of those people at the stadium just turned to someone, they had no clue who they were, and just, you know, talk to
Mm. And said, like, hey, man, are you all right? You know, and just encouraging the communication to open it. Because so, I think, especially in New Zealand, I think there's, like, this old stigma of not men not being able to talk about their feelings. Mm. Like, it's, like, an old thing that's been around forever, basically, really. And
it's sort of like that just whole idea as well as, like, any person being uncomfortable speaking out about depression or about anxiety and not wanting to admit that they've got it.
Yeah.
Or admit that they just occasionally struggle from symptoms of it. Obviously being running for student association, you're sort of in a position where you think, right, I can go around and ask people how they're feeling, or you sort of, but you don't want to be pushing people kind of thing. You want them to feel comfortable in coming to you talking about it, or going to the counselling services and talking about it. But there's definitely improvements that we need to make there. But it could even be more improvements about just the way in which we get students to engage with those services. I'm not sure of the numbers of how many students do engage with them, but I just know that they could be better. They can always be better.
Because I, from personal experience, when I booked in to see the Massey doctor, I had to wait like 3 weeks.
Really? Yeah.
And then so in the end, I just gave up because they cancelled on me after this 3 weeks, and I gave up and I went and saw my own GP, you know, because I looked at it as a way as this is a cheaper alternative and someone who's on campus and who can potentially help you as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because of the waiting time, like, I get it. Like, it's, of course, there's probably so many people that go to the counselling and wellbeing services.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and, like, the thing with, like, when it comes to health and everything, the first thing that you should be thinking at is not money. The first thing that you should be thinking about is, right, I need help and I need it now. And I think students on this campus, obviously, your experience with it was pretty bad, and I'm sure that you're not the only one. So, yeah, we do need to look at improving that and advocating for better services. Again, it's about making those relationships with the right people who are in power to then allow them to make the right decisions in terms of when it comes to student welfare.
Yeah.
Like, and talking with the welfare vice pres too, I think, would be good.
As well as it's convenient having a doctor on campus. Like, personally, I do most of my stressing on campus because, you know, that's where, like, most of my stuff is due anyway. And, like, if I were to go to my family GP, I don't know, it's like, it'd be a little bit weird discussing that kind of topic with your family GP because, you know, like, obviously I've had the same GP since I was, like, young because I've grown up here in Wellington and everything. But I think, definitely having more, I don't know, like, budget-wise, but definitely having more counselling services and stuff, it's almost, it'd be way more beneficial to mental health.
Maybe this is a shot in the dark here, but, like, maybe even, like, young people, maybe people who have recently graduated or people who are, like, really confident to be able to educate and help, like, the younger students find their voice.
Almost like a middleman, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, peer-to-peer support.
Well, even we've obviously got, like, academic advisors as well, whether those academic advisors are former students of Massey or former students of another institution or not of an institution at all. Sort of providing, like, I don't know, like, you know, that peer-to-peer conversation sort of, I don't know, or, like, yeah, to find somebody that you can relate to who's sort of been through it. You'd like to think that the Students Association can be those kind of people, but sometimes we might not be in the position of knowledge or to be able to talk to students about that kind of thing. But, that's quite a good idea as well, actually. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Liam, can you talk about, like, the election? When is it?
That's great. Yeah, so the election runs from the 19th of September to the 27th of September. So that's next Thursday through to next Friday. Voting opens online. I'm pretty sure that an email is sent out to students, dispersed out to students, and they can vote there. Obviously, the candidates will be, campaigning in between that time up until the 19th. So you'll be seeing all of our posters around the place. Some of us will be probably door knocking at the halls tomorrow. That'd be Wednesday. What's the date tomorrow? Wednesday. I just know it's tomorrow. There'll be sort of lots more events happening with students. But, yeah, voting opens on the 19th.
Okay, now moving on from that, guys, let's talk about dating in Wellington.
Dating life, it's still happening. It's a lot of work, as many others would say if they're dating. I haven't found the right person yet. I don't know why. I'm in my 20s. I'm kind of just like desperate. It's not an advert, though.
Only just in your 20s.
Only
20s.
Just in your 20s. Come on, bro. Come on.
Trust me, if you looked at me, you'd think I'm 30. No.
It's got those stress lines?
Yeah, I've got those stress lines, and it's when you don't get asked for ID in pubs, that's when you start to feel, oh, yes, it's happened. But, yeah, no, the dating life's sort of off and on, but kind of focusing on it in the background. Like, I like to focus on all my extracurriculars as well. But yeah, there's a few funny stories. Went on a blind date for Massive Magazine. Some of you may have read the article in the Massive Magazine. It was an interesting time. I rather enjoyed it. It was a coffee that the two of us have had since. But to be quite fair, I don't think it's going to be going anywhere. But yeah, it's all right.
Any exclusives for the Massive podcast?
I'm currently seeing a guy. Like, I've been on 3 dates with him. It's going all right. But sort of just taking it slow, not going too fast. And, yeah, we'll sort of had a few drinks, been to Mama Brown's, as you do.
As you do,
Had a pulled pork burger. It was rather fabulous. And
you'd recommend?
Oh, highly recommend, unless, of course, you're allergic to pork. You'll be shitting yourself for days. But
must be a lot of pork then.
Yeah. Good observation there.
Yeah, no problem.
Feel it. Can I just ask the milkshakes at Mama Brown's?
Oh yes. Don't drink them if you're lactose intolerant either. You'll be constipated for days. You want to have the pulled pork burger to get rid of the constipation.
That's a great message for the kids there, isn't it?
No problem. Oh god, definitely. No, the shakes are rather nice as well. I've had the Snickers shake.
Oh yeah, it's always.
How's
safe,
that go? Huh? Beat them nuts. Something like that, you know, the nutty. Unintentional sexual anecdote. No, but you know, the shakes are quite nice. They sort of sell similar ones at Fidel's as well. But no.
Any nightmare dating stories you want to talk about?
Nightmare dating stories. Oh, God. My first date was with a lawyer, and he treated it like it was a business interview.
Wow.
It was bad. I went there, and he had his portfolio out, and like, it was bad. He was on his phone. And, yeah, so that was my first dating experience. Kind of put me off for a little bit. I've been on a few since. They've gone okay, but it sort of just, like, hasn't sort of gone any further.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I think Wellington especially is great for dating. I'm not on... I'm seeing someone at the moment, so I'm not on Tinder myself, but yeah. I can see, like, there's just, like... Well, it's meeting people, I just think it's great.
It's like, if you're going on a dating app or something, like, it's sort of, like, I was looking for the wrong thing in the wrong place. I was looking for a relationship, I think, in a place that is probably not necessarily going to always be used for a relationship, but it's going to be used for hookups.
Absolutely.
So, like, deactivated the Grindr because of that. But, no, I just think that a relationship comes along naturally. I don't know, Isaac, you've been in a relationship for a couple of years. How did, I don't know, you probably sort of found each other more naturally, not online, I don't know.
Yeah, so I've been going out with the same girl, Georgia, for about over two years, maybe in between two and a two and a half. Yeah, it's a high school sweetheart. missing that American bullshit, but I don't know, I think what you said about, you know, looking in the wrong places for kind of like the prospect of the right person, definitely, like, you know, I'm a strong, firm believer in the fact that you don't meet someone or, like, wrong person, wrong time, right person, wrong time, you know, because the right one will come round at the right time and they'll just, you know, fit quite snug into your life.
What else was I going to add about dating in Wellington? I just think there's, like, so many great places you can go. In Wellington.
God, like, yeah, like this Mama
like
Brown's.
Just like you got food, but you've also got like other things you can do. You go like bowling, maybe go play some mini golf as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, something nice mini golf. Like you could have gone to
art galleries for the culture.
Art galleries for the
I mean, there's also great places to drive around. You can go around the bays.
Great places to drive around. Even like you can go up one way streets if you really want, like I've done. Not voluntary, of course.
Go to Te Papa, you know.
Go to Te Papa.
Catch a case of the measles at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe get a little bit of meningitis as well if you're going to be that close to the person. Who knows, a bowler. No, this is going in the second half of the we're splitting this podcast in half.
This is going into the R-rated bit.
This is going into the R-rated
after bit. Dark.
After dark. No, but there are some fantastic places to go on dates with people, and yeah, like you can go get a coffee somewhere, you can get a drink, and the city's constantly full of surprises, and new restaurants are always opening and closing, so you could be walking down Willis Street or whatever and be like, oh shit, there's a cafe I haven't seen there before, or pop in there for a coffee at some stage, and take one of the ample opportunities of dates that you've got on offer for a Tony Tendership.
Wow, that's quite tragic, really. Manu, you have anything to add about dating in Wellington? You want to share some of your experiences as an international student?
Oh, yeah, I just have to talk and then the woman just come to me. Yeah, it's facts. Pretty easy for me. Yeah.
Straight facts. Is it the accent?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Hope so.
So as vice president of education, it's really going to... Is it going to take a toll on your health?
No, I don't think so. It's obviously going to be a commitment, a time commitment and that kind of thing, but nothing that I can't already manage. There might be a few commitments that have to be sort of... I have to resign myself from. But no, if given it, I'll give it my all. And it's sort of like when you're working at the university and you're doing university, like extracurricular stuff, it never really feels like you're not doing your uni work. It sort of just all goes hand in hand. Like you're on a communication qualifications committee or something, you're doing a communications degree. It doesn't really feel like the work because you've already got you've got the internal knowledge. Same thing really with the Students Association. You know the students, you know the body. I feel as though I know relatively what they want to do or what they want us to do. And I don't think it will really take too much of a toll on my health.
In terms of, do you deal with the specific programs like the communications program and the design program?
So it's obviously easy to sort of assume that too with like education VP, what are you going to be focusing on?
Yeah.
Naturally, I'm sort of, I suppose, biased a little bit because I am with communications degree students. But I think, you know, building positive relationships with, say, like the College of Creative Arts exec, the welfare exec, to be able to establish relationships with the other schools as well is really important. Obviously, I'm sort of lacking there in a sense that I don't know much about the College of Creative Arts side of the university, but doesn't mean that I can't learn about it. Yeah, and use the opportunities that we've got to work with them.
That sounds pretty good to me. Yeah. So now, Liam,
yeah.
I also noticed that for some Massey students, sports and recreation is quite important to them. I know you like to go for walks around and some jogs sometimes.
Yeah, I do.
I've seen this guy going for jogs while I've been working. Yeah,
would you like to elaborate from your perspective? Because let's face it,
he was sucking in some big ones, running up the bloody hills of Calvin. Oh,
this is the funny thing when I go for my jogs. I'm jogging. I'm so red that cars drive around me because they think I'm a road cone, and my shorts are riding so far up my ass they're coming out of my ears. It's an embarrassing experience, one in which I don't like to share with the public. I don't recommend anyone watching me do it because it's just not cool.
Should have taken a photo, man. I was that close to pulling my phone out when I saw this guy.
So you're not going on jogs with other people anymore?
I do go for walks with my close friends because, hey, they only judge you behind your back. So, no, sorry, they judge you to your face.
Yeah, I know that one, for sure.
I do go for walks. You know, I go for walks with Dana.
Yep.
So, me and Dana go for walks and it's a nice experience.
So, I have noticed that in terms of like sports, like clubs and sports activities, even social activities, I've only really noticed like futsal being a prevalent one that I could sign up for.
Yeah.
So are you going to try and what is your stance on the sports and recreation at Massey and like the establishment of clubs and getting it out there?
So funnily enough, I did actually have someone come up to me today and say that we do need more sports and recreation services. And I think, again, there just needs to be better engagement with clubs, and I think a way that we're going to do that is just we need to further improve our advertising, I think. And sort of like going back to what Isaac was saying a little bit, like, what did you say, something about first-year students like starting at the beginning kind of thing, like sort of starting when they're fresh and educating them on what services and that we offer?
Oh, yeah, that was beforehand. It was like, I think it's all good. It's good and all that, people go through, like... You know how you get at the very start of each course they go through the health and safety PowerPoint and they kind of address that there. I think it's good and all doing that, but you know they don't factor into the account like season changes, you know, like different sports popping up, you know, or the ability to pop up at different times and everything.
So it's just like educating, especially the hall students and everything, like they're the first year, they're freshers, they're either from Wellington or they're from other regions, they're sort of open to the possibilities of wanting to learn more about their campus. So I think starting at the very beginning is it's a very good place to start and like educating first year students on what we offer and like talking to them more in lectures, I think, about university based activities as well.
It's so big, like I think it's like a lot, it's going to be a lot more important than what people think, especially concerning you, because I think sport and mental health work hand in hand. Like, if you're doing heaps of sport and everything and exercise, they'd best believe that's going to have, like, such a big impact on, you know, your mental health. But not only that, you meet new people and everything, which is what I kind of struggled with coming into Massey, because, like, in high school I was doing, you know, about three sports, you know, two in the winter, one in the summer. And coming into Massey, you know, I was still staying at home from Wellington and everything. Having that in there, especially for kids who are coming, who are still staying at home and coming into Massey, who's still in Wellington, it's, I think that's super important in meeting new people, because, you know, common interests and whatnot and everything, and, you know, teaches some good skills, like, massive advocate for sport. And
Yeah, because I used to play a lot of, like you did, Isaac, I used to play a lot of sports at high school as well, like a couple in the summer, or a couple in the winter, one in the summer as well. And I just found, like, there's, like, no information, because I come from Lower Hutt as well. Like, I just don't really know anyone in Wellington who is doing that stuff. So, like, I'm definitely interested to sign up.
That whole, like, and I was talking to them about it too, because I know you were like standing at the stand with me. But the social aspect of it is hugely important. And, like, Hawgs themselves, we do have social sports. We've got, like, social netball. I think we do offer, like, tennis and everything as well. Maybe golf. But, yeah, the social aspect behind sports is just as crucial and just as important for the mental health aspect of it than is the physical exercise too. And I think we should actually be, like, that's one way of doing it, is, like, not all students are necessarily going to be wanting to do sports for the exercise, but maybe more for that social aspect. So encouraging them to be like, hey, this is how you're going to meet new people as well, whether you're in the halls or you're living at home still or flatting in the first year.
Even it doesn't need to be organised. No. Like, if you had a club for, like, guys who have, like, the same interest in sport and everything, like, that'd be so good.
That'd be brilliant. I'd sign up for that.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be, like, mean. Imagine, like, going around to someone's house and, like, watching, like, a big game, like, say, like, like football in the morning, or even, like, you know, like NBA, like, finals
in the afternoon, because they're at midday. Well, I was adding to that. I was going to say, I don't know how much influence you have yet, but something that could be really cool and that could really get people involved is the Rugby World Cup's coming up in a couple of weeks. Imagine, because we had the screenings at Massey of those movies. I can't remember what the movies were earlier this year. Imagine if you had one of the games streamed
at uni.
Many people would come. You'd have...
But it's, like, it's streamed now as well. It's not on Sky anymore. So because that's, like, that would help,
you know,
so much more.
If one person has Spark Sport, like I do, I mean...
Or just rip it from your parents.
Rip it from your parents, exactly.
Let's face it, there's the one provider and then there's the parasites that are off the account. It's kind of like your Netflix, really.
And it's like you've got, you know, you've got... Yeah, you've got... We can drink on campus. We can sit outside if it's a nice night, because they're in the evenings, and some of them are actually in
Sit inside if it's pissing down with rain.
Exactly. And, it's like, probably Wellington, can you imagine, like, how awesome that would be? And how many people... You get quite a few people coming to
I reckon
you'd... And you get so many people meeting each other. And that can... You know, people can form really good relationships from that. And then...
Because when does the Rugby World start?
It starts on the 21st.
Starts on the 21st of this
month. Playing South Africa, and that's a big game.
Right. Yeah, that's huge. See, like, this is the thing, too, like, and going back to that whole, like, how much influence you have at the moment, the 2020 executive doesn't start until December.
Right.
So, obviously, we'll be missing that major gap with the Rugby World Cup, but it's definitely something that I can probably discuss with the current student executive looking into.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
Would you go to that, Isaac, Marlon?
Yeah. I mean, even 2020, like, Olympics. It's Olympics in 2020 next year?
I think because they had the Commonwealth Games, I was thinking, but only the Olympics.
What else is in
2020?
The US presidential election.
The Euros, yeah.
US presidential election, God.
Oh, and then New Zealand.
And the New Zealand election as well.
There's a lot of topics that have been coming out about that.
It could be a whole, and I think it should be another podcast.
It will be at some point.
Definitely.
When we get closer to it.
Fabulous.
Cool.
Okay, guys, so that wraps it up about now. Thank you to Liam and Isaac for coming on today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers for Manu for always being a good co-host and coming on time.
Cheers, guys.
So cool. Thanks, guys. You can now check us out on Spotify and on the massive website. Take it easy, guys. Peace.